Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. While Brighton Council must address concerns raised by residents, it also faces new pressures from the Ontario government. Late last year, new policies governing the planning process were put in place. These include cutting development costs, streamlining approvals, and speeding up the building of affordable housing. Mayor Brian Ostrander will talk about his reaction to the residents and their presentation at a public meeting on January 16th. He will also address the new rules imposed by the province around the approval process. This is one of the first proposals in Northumberland County to fall under the new legislation. Many residents and politicians will be watching closely. I'm so pleased to have with me today Brighton Mayor Brian Ostrander. Welcome back to Consider This.
Thanks, Robert. It's a pleasure to be back.
I wanted to talk to you about a planning committee meeting on January 16th that was very well attended and there were many presentations from the public. How would you characterize the overall response of the residents to the proposal being put forward for Gosport?
Well, I think it's easy to characterize the response from the residents as certainly not in favor of moving forward with that development, but I would say they were entirely polite and had all their proverbial ducks in a row, did their research, and provided council with some food for thought as we move this planning process forward and ask our staff to bring forward a recommendation for council's consideration.
If you were to describe the proposal for those who might be unfamiliar with the area, can you tell us what the developer wants to build and where it's located?
Sure. So Gosport is a peninsula in Brighton with one road access into the community, if you will, the neighborhood. The parcel of land that's being considered is abuts marshland with some significant species at risk dwelling in there, as I suppose many marshes do have. The proposal is, I believe it's 32 two and three story condominium townhouse units.
Now, there were a number of presentations that night on January 16th, and one of them argued that there were numerous errors in official documents. And I've talked to other residents and other opponents, and they also spotted a lot of mistakes, simple things like streets names that don't even exist or some of the facts and figures that just didn't add up. When you heard that information, was it significant to you, or did it give you pause for thought?
Well, you know, any time the professionals make these kinds of errors, you always wonder how much effort has gone into preparing the documentation. And if, you know, frankly, I think I'm repeating one of the residents. If small errors are being, many small errors are being made in the preparation of documents from an editorial perspective, what other errors are being made? It does provide opportunity for pause, that's for sure.
Another concern that was raised at the meeting was the environmental assessment. And the developer has submitted a document that was meant to address these concerns. And yet residents seem to be overwhelmingly concerned about this. And you even referred to in your earlier description as the development is adjacent to a provincially significant marshland. And there was even, I think, a retired employee of Presqu'île Park who was a naturalist for many, many years, talked about the wildlife, the fish, the turtles, the birds, the habitat, the marshland itself. When you heard that being presented, how much weight does that information carry in terms of helping you as a counsel to determining how you may go forward?
Well, it's certainly, like I said before, it certainly provides us with a moment of pause, and we want to seek clarity on what is and is not permitted on these lands. As of, you know, if we're to believe the information coming forward from the developer, it's all good to go. But of course, you know, it is exactly why we provide opportunities for peer reviewing and why we provide opportunities for assessment and why we look to the citizenry to come to us and let us know what their concerns are. So we're, you know, we're not going to just carte blanche allow something to happen that isn't appropriate in that area. And if, in fact, the concerns that have been brought forward with regard to species at risk and the provincially significant wetlands and the concerns that, you know, a development of this nature will have for that, it will all have to be considered by staff, first by staff during the recommendation stage, and then again by council when we go to make a decision one way or the other.
Now, I understand there's been some changes in the last few months in terms of provincial expectations that have impacted the planning process. And in the past, the Lower Trent Regional Conservation Authority, who would have expertise in this area, would be one of the agencies that would be consulted. But that's not the case anymore under the new legislation. Where are you getting expertise to help you interpret and make decisions, particularly around environmental issues?
Well, first I'll say we do not have people on staff. We have always relied on the Lower Trent Conservation Authority for that process. And it's my understanding that because this application began in advance of the passage of the legislation we're talking about that eliminates those opportunities, that we can still rely on the Lower Trent for their interpretation and their guidance on this file. But you raise an important concern moving forward, and that is how are we going to be impacted by changes to the conservation authorities? How are all municipalities going to be impacted by changes to the conservation authorities across Ontario if we don't have those experts to rely on? If, in fact, we're not allowed to use those experts, or the conservation authorities aren't allowed to make comments on these applications, you know, who indeed do we go to? Will we have to hire these kinds of professionals to do that? I don't know the answer to that. And that is one of the concerns I have. And one of the questions I've had all along is how much is this actually going to cost the property taxpayer as we endeavor to fill the gaps that have been created here?
One of the more interesting documents that was submitted to the town was an archaeological report. And in it, it identifies some culturally significant items being found on the lands of pre-contact Indigenous people. How do you see this going forward? I know the report recommends further digs and further investigation. How do you see council going forward on this aspect of the report?
I think that was one of the questions that council had, is what is the next step from an archaeological assessment perspective? And certainly the recommendation in the report that the developer handed over was that it needed to go to the next step. It's my understanding that the Indigenous community is involved or has been consulted or is being consulted on this. We certainly hope that that's the case. And I can tell you I will have a close eye on that when any new report comes forward. I'm going to want to know for sure what our friends in the Indigenous community have had to say about this before we can even think about moving it forward.
There were some petitions that were handed to council. I believe one of them had 1,100 signatures on it. I believe there was another one that was online with 965 signatures on it. What role do petitions play when council does the deliberations in Brighton?
We have to consider everyone's opinion, and that certainly allows us to know that there is a significant number of people who who have formed an opinion around this that is not necessarily a positive opinion about moving this forward. So I think it does, it certainly plays a factor.
One of the things we've alluded to in our conversation, but I want to explore more deeply, is the impact of Bill 23, which talks about creating more streamlined process for planning, also trying to jumpstart more affordable housing, and made some major changes within the system. And this is probably one of the first proposals that council has dealt with in this new system. Can you describe some of the challenges that your staff and council are facing as you launch your first attempts to deal with a development under the new rules?
Well, I think in many ways this application may very well tell us what the pressures are going to be as we move forward in the new planning regime, based on Bill 23 and other bills that have changed the landscape for municipalities as we move through the land use planning application processes. So I'm still in a wait and see mode. Council's still in a wait and see mode. I've already mentioned that I have very serious concerns about having to increase our staffing levels in order to make up for review opportunities that don't exist anymore through conservation authorities. We know that development charges will be lost, or we can no longer apply development charges to on certain things. So we will lose key revenues for infrastructure future infrastructure projects. But really, I mean, now the province is saying they will endeavor to make the municipalities whole. We wait and see. There's been no rolled out plan as to how that's going to happen, so we don't know for sure what making us whole will look like. Part of that apparently is now an audit of our reserve funds. So, you know, my fear, of course, is that those of us, people like Brighton, municipalities like Brighton that have been very fiscally responsible over the course of many years, tens of years, generations even, may be punished for that fiscal responsibility. And communities that have, you know, sort of wavered on the cusp of, oh no, may see that they are in fact being made whole. I don't know. I'm speculating, and maybe that's not fair, but it is a worry. But more so, the concern is the pressures on our planning department as they are asked to complete applications faster with the same amount of staff, and what the implications of having to add staff in a regime that's telling us we can't then charge for it. So I'm concerned. I'm eyeballing a future that's going to cost my existing taxpayers more money in order to continue to do the same kinds of work we've been doing.
You've mentioned so many things that are so significant, and I guess one of the things is the timeline. And is council feeling the pressure politically under this new regime to get this done fast? And what is council's attitude, or even your attitude, towards being pushed through on something you're not comfortable with?
Well, I've been clear to our staff that, you know, what we'll do is we'll do what we can do. But nobody is going to, you know, we're not going to push people to the brink in order to ensure that planning applications are done faster. We don't want mistakes being made. We want to make sure all of the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, the proper legislation's being adhered to, and all the reports are appropriate, that we in fact have all of those assessments and impacts and understand what, you know, all the things that we ask for, from traffic to environmental concerns. We want to make sure all of those things are being captured in a planning document. At the end of the day, if a developer feels that we're taking too long to complete that application, they have remedy under the Ontario Land Tribunal's rules to file an appeal for a non-decision. And I guess if the developer feels that they can get a better deal at the OLT than through proper and good negotiations with the municipality, then that's a route they can take. Frankly, I think that would just overwhelm the Ontario Land Tribunal in terms of its ability to make decisions, because we know they're already overwhelmed. So do I think that Bill 23 has a laudable goal of putting more affordable housing in the market faster? I absolutely do. I'm just suspect that in fact we'll be able to do that based on what Bill 23 offers.
One of the other things about the new legislation and the new rules is something called a ministerial zoning order, where developers can go straight to the minister and he can override anything so a development can go through. What's your thoughts on that aspect of this process? Because you mentioned a lot of things, but you didn't talk to that specifically. Are you concerned that this developer can just sit quiet, sit tight, and then just jump over the whole process and go straight to the minister and get his approval?
Well, that's always a concern. I mean, MZOs aren't new. They've been around a long time. This government seems to use them a little more freely than other governments. Of course, Brighton has not been impacted by that. The typical use of an MZO is when the municipality seeks that opportunity and says to the minister, we would like this done faster than the Planning Act allows us to get it done. We know the importance of this particular, I'm not talking about the one we're talking about, but a particular development, we would want it done faster for perhaps economic development purposes, perhaps affordable housing purposes, and the minister can help a municipality out that way. Certainly the concern I'm hearing is that developers will go to the minister and ask for this to happen, and that is the sweeping change we're worried that we'll see. So we haven't seen that happen in Brighton. We certainly hope that we continue to have good negotiations with our developers and are able to work with our developers for land use planning purposes. I never think it's a good idea for the province to come along and, make sweeping changes to a local municipality without the input of our council and the people who will be impacted the most, and that's the neighborhood.
You raised a lot of concerns, both your own and of council. Have you spoken directly to MPP David Piccini about these concerns?
The MPP is certainly aware of my concerns and the concerns of, I think, all seven of our municipalities across Northumberland County. We have raised these issues through motions at the county level and at the local level. So, MPP Piccini is certainly aware of Brighton's concerns and Northumberland County's concerns.
Another big issue that Brighton faces is its water and sewage treatment. And I'm aware that there are quite a number of other developments that are in the pipeline wanting to be considered by council. I think there's a two-story townhouse unit with 84 townhouses. There's another one with 120 residential units. There's another one with 94 townhouses. Another one with 88 units. There's a lot of development going on, and capacity is always a big issue, and the environmental concerns. How is council going to be managing with all this stuff on its plate? Is there a concern that there is capacity that these things can go forward?
Certainly that concern exists, and our planners have been very clear with developers, and council has been very clear with developers as we approve phases or stages in phases. In the latest round of approvals, we very specifically included wording in the approval that before any build-out can begin, assessment on capacity must be approved by the planning department. In other words, we must know that if you're adding a house, we'll be able to manage the sewage capacity for that house or for that particular area of the development, that stage of the development. Because we are aware that we do need to upgrade that plant, not just from a treatment perspective in order to stop the ammonia, but at some point we're going to need to upgrade that plant also for capacity purposes. We believe that the new system that we have proposed will have opportunity to add capacity, but we are not seeking a change to our certificate of approval to add capacity. We are only seeking opportunity to fix the ammonia at the moment.
Going back to the Gosport proposal, so how does this go forward? You've alluded to a couple of things, but can you give us a bit of a timeline and a process for people listening so that they can know what's coming up?
Sure. Next steps are no doubt, at the statutory public meeting, I think I mentioned, we asked staff to consider all of the information they have, all the reports, all the information that came from the public, all the questions that have been asked both at the meeting and before and after that meeting. Include all that information and provide council with a report and recommendation. Staff have advised that they think the earliest we would see that would be March at the March planning meeting, but we'll wait and see. We, like I said, we want to make sure that everyone has the time to analyze this properly and provide a good recommendation to council.
With all the things we've talked about, especially with the new provincial regulations, are other municipal leaders in Northumberland watching what's going on right now with Brighton? Are you like one of the first that are sort of going through these new hoops? And is that of interest to your colleagues across the county?
Good question for them. I don't know. They certainly haven't expressed to me that they're watching this particular development closely. I think this development's a bit of an oddball because part of it will have to be in the new regime because of the development charges issue, but part of it because the whole application process began before Bill 23 was passed. Is not included in that regime. So I think it's a bit of a parsed together application from a legislative perspective. But the fact of the matter is our planning staff will have to consider the new legislation in their recommendation. That's their duty, whether we like it or not.
Brian Ostrander, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate your time.
That was Mayor Brian Ostrander. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.